Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. That is page 13 if you're using the Pew Bible. Genesis chapter 15, just as a reminder, Abraham has had a successful campaign against four kings of Mesopotamia. He has defeated them and was able to rescue his nephew Lot, who had been taken captive. He is met by Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who blesses Abraham and also blesses God for the victory that God has given to Abraham. And now we see again God affirming, God confirming his promises to Abraham. This is part of a larger section that we are going to be looking at in pieces. This is entitled, at least in the ESV version of the Bible, God's covenant with Abraham. And we're going to be getting more into the covenantal aspect of this in future weeks. But for today, we're just going to read verses 1 through 6, and let us hear God's word. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Abraham was looking for a better world, and he was looking to God to do that. The writer of Hebrews tells us, this is Hebrews chapter 11, it says, By faith he, Abraham, went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And then it goes on to say, For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Well, who wouldn't want to live in a city designed and built by God, right? That would be a perfect city, a perfect place to live. It would be a place where there would be just laws. It would be a place where the people living there would be law-abiding, a place where there would be caring and love, a place where there would be fulfilling and productive work, a place where there would be peace and prosperity, no threats from without, no decline or division within, no trouble, no sickness, no death. God's city, built his way, and with citizens who are on board with his agenda. And God called Abraham to go to the land where he would begin building this place. Abraham and Sarah would be the beginning of a new citizenry, if you will. A new population who would inhabit the city. That's what God told them. And they believed it. Not as strongly at first, but enough to reorient their entire lives, to leave their home and go to the place that God had told them. In this passage, we see again the faith of Abraham. And we also see something else. We see in verse 6 that God counts this faith that Abraham had as righteousness. Now, this morning, I want us to look at two things. First is that faith itself is righteousness that seeks a reward. Faith is righteousness that seeks a reward. And second, faith is something that acknowledges that righteousness is a gift. So first, faith as righteousness, seeking a reward. Let me put this in context. Think again about this city, about building a city or a nation or a kingdom. There are physical characteristics of this city, the buildings, the streets, the infrastructure. Yeah, in ancient times, a city had a wall built around it for protection. In modern times, we're still talking about building walls. So there are physical aspects to building this city. But there are also the standards and the rules that will define life in the city. There are rules about fairness and business dealings, rules about respecting the life and reputation of others, rules about marriage and sexuality, rules about speaking the truth and honoring and obeying those in authority, especially the king. So putting all this in place is also involved in building or establishing the city. It's what will allow life in the city to flourish. And to live in this city in a way that will enjoy its benefits, we have to put our faith in the king who built it. Faith that the city he has built will indeed offer protection, and that living there and living according to its ways will bring the benefits, the blessings, the rewards that are promised. And so, with that in mind, listen again to what God says to Abraham. In verse 1, he says, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Now think about these words as the words of a king of a city speaking to a prospective citizen, the king who built the city or is building it and who is establishing it with his wise laws and good way of life. This king is promising the benefits, the blessings, the reward of living in this city. But to share in these rewards, Abraham must believe this king. And that means that he must trust that what this king says is true. And that means that he will have to leave his old life, his old place, and come to live in the king's city, and come to live according to the wise ways of this king. It means that he will align himself with him, and with his plans, and with his purposes. And you see, faith in God is more than just an agreement that he exists. Faith in God means ordering our lives around him. It involves a whole orientation for our lives. Faith in God is the great qualifier. It changes and gives new meaning for everything that we think, everything we say, everything that we do. It changes our lives that before were oriented around us and our desires to lives that are now oriented around God. And it's this sort of faith that God counts as righteousness. And this is what we see in Abraham. He's believed God, and that has completely altered his life, right? He's left his home to follow God, to follow God's plans and purposes for a new home, a new city, a new kingdom. And it's this faith that is counted to him as righteousness. It is this faith that will be rewarded. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, the writer says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please him." It's impossible to please God. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And so God confirms to Abraham here that this faith of his is not misplaced, that God, who made promises to him, will be a shield to him and will reward him. This reminds me of Matthew chapter 19, where the Apostle Peter says to Jesus, he says, "See, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And then listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the rest, Jesus says, will be added to us. Well, that's what Abraham has done. He's placed his faith in God. He has sought first the kingdom. He's placed himself at risk. He's placed himself at disadvantage. But Abraham will not be disappointed, God says. He will find the kingdom he seeks. He will enjoy its rewards. So the question for us this morning is do we believe God in this way? Is our faith in him a life-altering one? Does our faith in God impact our thoughts and our words and our deeds? Is our faith in him the great qualifier of our lives? Is it this sort of faith that we have? Because it's this faith that is assured the rewards of the city of God. In an interview with Rosaria Butterfield in the fall 2016 edition of By Faith magazine, she reflects on the change that took place in her life when she decided to put her faith in Jesus as her king. And one of the biggest changes for her was a deliberate choice to turn away from and to leave behind a same-sex lifestyle. She describes it as turning away from pride that says we know ourselves and our needs better than God does. Prior to that, she saw God's truth as, and these are her words, she saw the word of God as an act of personal discrimination against her. Prior to Christ, she saw her desire for other women as, quote, who she was, a reflection of a morally neutral reality. But in contrast, the king of the city of God said to her that her desires for women were a distortion of who she was as an image bearer of God. And if she truly wanted to be all that God had made her to be, if she wanted to enjoy the rich blessings and rewards that belong to those who are citizens of his city, then she needed to trust this king. She needed to leave her former life behind and in faith seek first his kingdom. Now, the same is true for all of us. If there is something in your life that you need to turn from in order to align yourself with this king, something that you need to leave behind as Abraham did, as the disciples did, as Rosaria Butterfield did, the same promise that was made to Abraham is made to all who put their faith in God. He promises to count our faith as righteousness. He promises to be our shield. He promises that our reward will be very great. But having said that, there's something else that also needs to be said. While faith seeks a reward, it also acknowledges a gift. And that brings us to the second point, that faith acknowledges that righteousness is in fact a gift from God. For there to be a reward, there has to first be a gift, or what we call grace. All of life depends on God's gifts of grace, which he freely gives according to his own plans and purposes. Nothing we do influences how God distributes his grace. That's entirely his choice. And faith in God is something that acknowledges or recognizes this. It recognizes that there would be no reward if it were not for his grace. It recognizes that we would not be able to seek his reward. We wouldn't even be able to seek it if it were not for the fact that he first has given us a gift. In verses 2 and 3, Abraham is faced with his own inability. To receive what God has promised, Abraham knows that he must have an heir. God had promised to make Abraham a great nation, to make Abraham a blessing to all the families of the earth. Well, how would that happen if Abraham had no children? He and Sarah are already up in years, past the time of having children. So how will God reward Abraham for his faith? How is that reward even possible? For Abraham and Sarah in themselves, it was not possible. But with the grace of God, with his gifts, all things are possible. And so in verses 4 and 5, in the face of Abraham's inability, God takes him outside and he tells him to try and count the stars. You ever try to do that as a child? You haven't tried that as an adult, but it's an impossible task. Astronomers estimate that there are 100 to 300 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy alone. And then there are 100 to 200 billion galaxies. So you can do the math. God says to Abraham, "So shall your offspring be. His descendants will be so many that it will be impossible to count them." Now, how will that happen for a man and his wife who are past the point of having children? Well, there's only one answer. It will have to be the gift of God, a work of God's grace. And verse 6 tells us that Abraham believed this. He believed God. He believed in this gift, in this grace of God. Now, all of this points to a still deeper spiritual issue that underlies Abraham's physical inability. Why is it that they're childless? Why is it that they're getting older and weaker and will eventually die? Well, it's because they're feeling the impact of a spiritual problem. They're feeling the problem of a world that has fallen, a world that has felt the impact of a humanity that has denied the need for God. A world that denies the need for his grace. A world that no longer seeks God, no longer even seeks the rewards that God promises to those who seek him. And the only way Abraham or anyone will escape this, the only way he will be able to come out of this decaying world and come to enjoy the rewards of a new creation, the rewards of the city of God. The only way that will happen is by the grace of God. God will have to breathe new life into what is dying. And this is what God promises to do for Abraham, and not just in a small way, right? Not only will Abraham have an heir, he's going to have an uncountable number of heirs, of descendants. And we'll see in the next section that they're going to inherit this land that God has promised to Abraham. in all this, we see the gospel, right? We see the good news of Jesus Christ, because really, he's the gift that God promises to Abraham. He's the impossible heir who will come from Abraham's line. And it would be through this gift that God would make possible the rewards, not of a city in the land of Canaan, but the rewards of a heavenly city, eternal life. If left to ourselves, we would not have the faith to seek the rewards of the city of God, as Abraham did. We would not have the ability to do that. If left to ourselves, we would not have the ability to escape the guilt that comes with our past unrighteousness, our past failure of faith. If left to ourselves, we would be no better off than Abraham and Sarah, unable to attain the things that God had revealed to them. But with the gift of God, everything changes. Through the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, our past failures are wiped out. The debt is paid, and we've been given a new righteous standing. Through the gift of God's Spirit that Jesus secures for us, we are changed inside so that now we are able to believe God, to seek him, to seek his city, to seek his kingdom, and to obtain the rewards that are there. Abraham believed that God would give him an heir who would be the answer to that better world, the city of God that Abraham was seeking. And we now know who that heir was. Listen to the Apostle Paul. I'm going to read a bit from Romans chapter 4, if you want to turn there with me. This is Romans chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in the middle of verse 20. Paul is writing about Abraham, and he's writing about Abraham's faith. And this is what Paul writes. He says, "But he," speaking of Abraham, "but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words 'it was counted to him' were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Do you acknowledge the gift that God has given in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God's grace? Do you trust him to do the impossible, to do what you and I are unable to do? God has promised a better world. He's promised a city built by God, a city full of blessing, a city full of reward for those who seek it. When we look at the mess that is in the world around us, and if we're honest, we look at the mess that we are ourselves, it's easy to become cynical, right? Impossible. It's impossible. How can this happen? How will things ever change? How will we ever obtain that blessing, that reward that we long for? About 30 years ago, there was a moment in my life where I became close to succumbing to this cynicism. I was doing graduate studies in a religion department at a local university. And as I delved into what was mostly unbelieving Bible scholarship, I began to get disillusioned. Now, bear in mind, I had already been to seminary, so I knew about these things. But for some reason, just becoming immersed in it affected me. And it was impacting my own faith. And some people around me realized this because I was sharing that, and they contacted Vern Poitras, and Vern contacted me, who encouraged me and reminded me that there was sound biblical scholarship going on, and he encouraged me to pursue that. And frankly, his faith was an encouragement to my own I didn't have all the answers. It was a difficult time in my life, and to see through my own cynicism. But I chose to believe God, and I chose to have the faith that by His grace, even though I couldn't see it all, that God somehow would reward us just as He promised to Abraham, that we would have His blessing. I've said this before, but we've got so much more to go on than Abraham did. We've seen the heir that was still just a promise to Abraham. We've seen His death, and we've seen the power of His resurrection. We've seen the new creation already begun in Christ. And the promise is that if we have faith in Him, then like Abraham, our faith too, Paul says, will be counted as righteousness. We'll receive the reward that by His grace God made possible through Jesus Christ. God has promised a city, a very great reward, He says to Abraham. Seek this city. Believe in the gift of God's Son, and it will be credited to you as righteousness, and the reward of God will be yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your promises. We thank You for Your faithfulness in keeping those promises. We thank You for what You have allowed us to see already. And You've already told us that it is beyond even our imagination of what You have in store for those who seek You, who put their trust in You, who believe in You. We thank You that You have sent Your Son, Jesus. Apart from this gift, all would be lost. We acknowledge this. So, Lord, encourage us in our own faith. Help us to be encouragers of one another. And we pray that as others see our trust in this God who has promised such great things, that they too will be drawn to You. We thank You again for Your Son, and we pray in His name. Amen.